Hopefully all you folks were able to grab a bulletin and look at some of the things that are going on this week and in the next couple of weeks. There's obviously a number of things that are planned and had that meeting tonight and stuff like that. We're just really appreciative of Pastor James and how he's jumped right in to do ministry. And we definitely... Getting him to do ministry isn't like pulling teeth. He comes up with ideas, so we appreciate that. Matthew 25 that we talked about this morning, you don't necessarily have to turn there, just kind of put your minds back in that frame of thought. In our text this morning, Matthew 25, that famous saying in verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, that's how we've read that verse for decades, probably. That's how we've always heard that verse preached. But the actual Greek word for "well done, thou good and faithful servant" there, that Greek word for servant, is doulos. Now, what's interesting about that word doulos is in any secular Greek literature, everybody knows that word means slave. So a better way to put that would be, "Well done, thou good and faithful slave," because that's what the word means. But in our world, whenever you start talking about slaves or slavery, there's a very negative connotation, isn't there? Because of the American form of slavery that was from the early 1800s, 150 years ago. So, in the Bible, especially in the King James and the New King James, some of the other translations maybe do a little bit better job of reflecting it, but the two translations that we primarily use, they hardly ever translate the word slave, the Greek word doulos, into slave in the English. Now, 65 times the word slave is used in the New King James Version, 27 times in the New Testament. Predominantly, what is the word that slave gets translated as? Servant. Or sometimes occasionally bond servant. Bond servant is a little bit better picture of that Greek word doulos. Servant is 896 times. 136 times in the New Testament. But the word slave is an excellent word for what we are as born-again believers. We are slaves to Christ. Yet if you were to turn on the TV on Sunday mornings or maybe throughout the week, that super-duper Christian channel where they sit in the gold thrones and have the awesome hair and the thick makeup, if you watch those people, if you go to a Christian bookstore and start scanning the different books in there, rarely will you see anyone calling us slaves to Christ. Most of Christian literature, much of Christian preaching, doesn't present our relationship with Christ in slave language or slave terms. What do most megachurch pastors talk about in regards to our relationship to Christ? They talk about our freedom in Christ. They talk about the prosperity that is at our fingertips as we grab a hold of Christ. And what do we call that? The health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel, name it and claim it type ideas. Finding God's purpose. One of the biggest selling Christian books of all time was about finding God's purpose for your life. All these books are talking about personal fulfillment. Many of them are talking about self-esteem. People are talking about satisfaction. Those rank at the top of many pastors' preaching themes. It's all very us-centered, me-centered, you-centered. Perhaps when we focus on these themes, we're missing something. Because the New Testament says, as Christians, we are his slaves. We are the slaves of Christ. In the original Greek, that word doulos in the New Testament is used over 130 times. Matthew chapter 6, I don't know if you're near there or not, or can grab that. We'll be looking at a number of verses tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is another very famous verse that we've heard. many, many times. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters." And that's the right word there. Masters is correct. That gives off the idea, the connotation of slavery. But then look as you sort of read the rest of the Bible, it sort of lets go of that idea. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right, this is that slave talk. So often, and Pastor James might be able to relate to this, so often we invite people to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're encouraged to do, to invite people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But according to the Bible, the better idea might be to invite people into a slave relationship with Jesus Christ. Except that doesn't sound as marketable, does it? That sounds like, what? You want me to be a slave to Jesus Christ? Ephesians 5, the word bond, or Ephesians 6 rather, the word bondservant is used instead of slave, but slave would be the better translation. It's Ephesians 6 verse 5, it says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of the heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service to the Lord, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave nor free." Now it's interesting when it's actually talking about a slave, it uses the word slave. That's the same exact Greek word, but when it is asking us to be slaves of Christ, it uses servant. Very odd. But we are bond servants. It's not boss either, because we can have two employers. You actually are making me skip ahead in my sermon, but that's all right. All right. We can have two employers. You can have multiple part-time jobs. If you're really good, you can have a night job and a day job, and somehow fit in some sleep in between. You can have that, but you can only have one master. You can only be slave to one person or one thing. And we are called to be slaves of Christ. All regenerate believers, born-again believers, are to be slaves of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. I went right over it. This is one of those nights where you get a good workout finding things where they are in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23 or 22. "For he who is called in the Lord while a slave," see, it's talking about an actual slave. When you're called to salvation as an actual slave, while a slave is the Lord's freedman. "Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave." So in that context, they got it right. We're slaves of Christ there. And then what's that next verse? Another very famous verse. It's definitely referring to us as slaves. There's no way around it. "You were bought with a price. Therefore, do not become slaves of men. Be slaves of Christ." You see, as we're sharing the gospel, if we're explaining it correctly, it isn't just an invitation to be rescued from hell. I know recently this has sort of been a theme in my preaching. I've been talking about this fire insurance. We want to get away from that idea. Yes, we are saved from hell. We are rescued from that eternal punishment. But salvation is much more than that. It's an invitation to be a slave to Christ. To be so fully committed to God's will, submitted to God's will, that you literally deny yourself. That's the gospel. We are asking people to so thoroughly change, and what we're changing into is a slave. How many times do you hear salvation put that way? Not very often. Not very often. Someone may ask, I think the logical question would be, how are we going to tell people to be slaves of Christ in the middle of this political climate that we're in right now? We have this group, Black Lives Matter, and they've produced a platform, this party platform, and one of the things is they want reparations for slavery that happened 150 years ago. And it seems like all the time, if you say this or say that, people look at you and they say, well, you're a racist. So it seems a little bit risky to invite people to be slaves of Christ, slaves to Christ, in this world that we're currently living in. Maybe that's true. But how much more difficult do you think it would have been to invite people to be slaves to Christ in a world with actual slavery? The Roman world that those apostles were going around planting churches in and witnessing, that world was a world that was filled with actual slavery. Our world, slavery is 150 years ago. Their world, actual slavery was rampant. Some people say that the city of Rome itself was 25% slaves, the population. 1 out of 4 people. Maybe it was higher. I'm just saying that what I recall. I could be wrong. I could be way wrong. It might be the other way. It might be 3/4 slaves. Whatever it was, the city of Rome had a huge population of slaves. In Peter and Paul's world, this world where they lived in, for them, I would have to say that it was probably more risky to invite people to be slaves to Christ than it would be for us. The Greeks and Romans, even the Egyptians, what are they kind of most known for? Anybody have an idea? What did they have a lot of? Well, Rhodes, is that what you said? They're known for that. What's the other thing that, I mean, they're constantly making films and there's these gods of Egypt. They're making movies about the gods of Rome and the Greek gods. What are some of the names of some of those ancient gods? Adonis, Zeus, Aphrodite, Artemis, Poseidon, Hades, all these different names of these different people. Where I grew up in Vassar, their high school, their mascot was the Vulcans. He was the Greek god of fire, the Vassar Vulcans. And even Nike, isn't Nike the name of one of those gods? So these are pretty common things. We all kind of know that Greek mythology and that Roman system of gods. And there's a lot of writings in from the ancients about these different gods. And they've sort of been passed down, and we can read them and study them. And what's very interesting is that in those writings, the Greeks and the Romans, the Egyptians, they never refer to the human, to their god relationship in terms of slave. They always referred to them back and forth as friends. And to them, slavery was just such a terrible thing. They kind of looked at slaves as second-class citizens. They couldn't, not even citizens at all. They couldn't serve in the military. They couldn't be a witness in the court of law. They couldn't vote. I mean, they had very little privileges. So this word slave to them was just sort of repulsive. But Peter and James and John and Paul were going around the world telling all these people, if you want to be saved, you have to be a slave of Christ. How many do you think were lining up to accept Christ and be his slave? Actually, it's pretty surprising how many were, because they knew they were going to get freedom in Christ, and one day when they got to heaven, they would get something that they never thought they could have. And this is the idea that God's word is presenting. We are called to be slave to Christ. The Apostle Paul considered himself a slave. if anyone out of the New Testament, all these different like spiritual giants, if anyone could have like pushed himself into something higher, like got some notoriety, don't you think it probably would have been Paul? But no, he calls himself a slave. Let's look at it. Romans 1. Now, I know it says bondservant, but remember it's really slave. Romans 1. It says, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. Paul considers himself a slave. How about Galatians 1? I want to find that really quick. We have plenty of time tonight, so you can take the time to actually look. Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Paul's writing this. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant or a slave of Christ. Now this verse, Paul is admitting that he's a slave. The secondary theme or idea is slaves have one goal. What's the goal of a slave? To please or serve their master. Okay, Paul's saying his one goal as a slave is to please Jesus Christ. How about Titus chapter 1? You know, Pastor James and Susanna, they name their first child. The first one's Titus. The second one's Timothy. You should have named the third one Thessalonians. That's weird. Because that's how I remember where the books of the Bible are. All the T's in the New Testament go together. Okay? 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, they all go together. All right, Titus 1:1. Paul, a slave of Christ, of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Again, a slave to Christ. Now maybe you're thinking, you're sitting here thinking, well, that was just Paul. No, let's go to James. Okay, let's go to James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Another guy that if he could sort of weasel his way into a position of notoriety to sort of call himself something higher than what he really is would be the brother of Jesus Christ, James. And this is what he says in James 1:1. James, a slave of God and of my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? A slave. If you look at Jude, that's just before the last book of the Bible. Jude, another one of the early church people. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, another half-brother there. Even in 2 Peter, where we're going to be here in a few weeks, 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. These guys are the founders of the faith, and they are calling themselves slaves. They're identifying themselves as slaves of Christ. If we sort of scour the New Testament, even the lesser known people, there's this guy that's talked about a couple of times in scriptures, Epaphras. You ever heard of that guy? Epaphras, remember him? Paul calls him a slave of Jesus Christ more than once. He actually calls him a fellow slave, a fellow bondservant. But that Greek word's still there, doulos. Then in Timothy, every believer is called a slave of the Lord. Every believer is a slave to Jesus Christ. God's people from every era are even slaves to Christ. I know some of you guys really like to study in the book of Revelation. Revelation over and over again in the original Greek, you see that word doulos, 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 slave, slave, slave. We're called slaves in the future. Any believers in the future. Chapter 7 would be after the rapture of the church, but anybody that turns to Jesus Christ in repentance in those end times, they're also called slaves to Christ. Revelation 22, I think by that time in the book, basically we're all in heaven, and in heaven we're even still called his slaves. We're owned by God. 1 Peter says we've been bought with Christ's precious blood. We're bought with this price. Therefore, and this is where it comes down to some application, if we are his slaves, if we've been bought with a price, I think we have some duties. These are really quick. I think it's four of them, if I got this down correctly. Since we've been bought with a price, we're slaves to Christ. Number one, therefore, we are supposed to be constantly available to him in obedience. Constantly available to him in obedience. Ancient slaves, if the master called on one of them to do something, they had to go. It wasn't like, you know, today, I'm a little bit tired, I'm going to hit snooze on the alarm. If you didn't go, what happened? Dead. Yes, you were right. You could possibly be dead. They would whip you. In the South, they would typically whip slaves that were troublemakers. In the ancient Roman world, if the master was just sort of sick of it or he wanted to make you an example, they would crucify slaves. At one particular occasion, there was this uprising of slaves, and for several miles, there was just cross after cross after cross where hundreds and hundreds of slaves were killed. So as a slave to Christ, we are supposed to be constantly available to him in obedience. All the while, number two, never pushing our own thoughts, desires, or feelings, because our will belongs to him. We're constantly available for obedience. And number two, we are completely submitted to his will. His will always comes first. You know, a slave in those days couldn't say, you know, I don't feel like weeding the field today. I don't feel like shoveling the barn. I feel like going out by the lake. Okay, you'd be killed, beaten. Slaves are available for obedience. They are submitted to the master's will. After all, what's that verse say? Matthew 6:24, right? No one can have two masters. I think we get those things about our slave relationship with Jesus Christ, but what about number three? As slaves to Christ, we are to be completely dependent upon Christ. Ancient slaves and even slaves during the pre-Civil War era, they were completely dependent upon their masters. It wasn't like they could go out and buy things at the market because they didn't have money. They couldn't earn their own money. If they had money, it was because the master gave them money to do a job for them, to buy things for them. They were completely dependent upon their masters. And as slaves to Christ, we are to be completely dependent upon him for everything. Everybody is a slave to something. And we're almost done. Everybody is a slave to something or someone. And we are supposed to be slaves to Christ. Slaves to Christ. Anybody have any questions? I see Mark, you get second.
Every
That's a good concept that you brought up too, and I didn't really touch on it tonight, but slaves are rewarded. And as we submit ourselves to the Lord in obedience and faithfulness here on this earth, when we get to heaven, we will be rewarded. And that's a great point. Thanks, Mark. For those that you didn't hear, he was talking about dog training, and dogs are in this book that he's sort of read and learned a lot from. You're supposed to make the dog the slave. And sometimes we flip-flop that, don't we? We end up serving the stinking dog. Joanne. Okay. Joanne was saying she remembers reading sometime that there was a distinction between slave or servant and bond servant. There's six Greek words, as far as I can tell, that would reflect accurately being translate servant. People that like worked, were employed as a nanny, people that were employed as a cook, people that were employed. There's about six different words, and those were people that could quit their jobs and go away. Now, in the English culture, there was things like bond servants, where you could sell yourself for a certain period of time, that you are that person's slave for a certain period of time. You're bonded to them once you fulfill those duties or sort of make that payment. In the Bible, maybe an example of that would be like Jacob. He agreed to work for, wasn't it Laban, for a certain number of years, and he like bonded himself to that guy. But that's not the Greek words that are used that we've been reading.
You know, they were a slave. Somebody owned them. And so, a bond servant then, because I know that Paul uses that a lot, the word bond servant.
That's the English.
To leave, he could leave, but he chose. Mm-hmm. He's choosing to be a slave to Christ.
The English word is often translated bond servant, but when you get down to the Greek, it's still that doulos, slave. Now, you are right in that as believers, we are choosing to stay a slave to Christ. Could we walk away from this slavery? Do we walk away from it at times? We decide to, we're going to sort of push Christ down and lift ourselves up. You know, in those three ways, whether it's obedience, dependence, or whatever the middle one I said was, I forgot it already. We can do that. But yes, out of anticipation for what did we talk about this morning? As we submit ourselves to Christ, as we become his slave, that's when we're going to find true joy. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So you're right, we do choose to do that. But literally, we are owned by God. We've been bought with a price. So I think that the concepts that you're bringing about, there's both. Both are realities in our lives. We could get down into some discussion. If somebody walks away forever, were they really Christ's slaves to begin with? Or were they those people like in Matthew, you said to me, Lord, Lord, and he says, hey, I never really knew you. I guess that's the debate of Matthew 25 that we studied this morning. The parable of the talents, 5 and 2 and 1. That guy that just had one that buried it, was he really even born again? You know, that's a big debate as you start reading some of these commentaries. A lot of guys think he wasn't even really saved in the metaphor of the story. So, yes, we freely choose to be the slave of Christ, but we are really owned by him as well. Mark? Interesting. Anything else, Valerie? Maybe that's more the idea that you're referring to, is that might be an Old Testament. That might be an Old Testament concept. My study was more focused on the New Testament, but I think that would answer that question. Thank you, Valerie. For those of you who didn't hear, she was talking about in the Jewish tradition, if you owed money, you or a child could go to that person and become a bondservant to them for a certain amount of time, like basically sign a contract. But there was cases where they were getting along so good and being treated so well that they would become their servant forever, and they'd have the thing that goes through the year, and they would have a ring to become signify that I'm their slave now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Hebrews 10. Well, that's your devotions this week. Study Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. That's your study assignment, homework. Hebrews 10. Anything else? Mike.
1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And then in 7:23, it says, you are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. I don't know if that servant there is slave or probably is.
Yes, it is slaves in that spot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and that's just so difficult for us at times to wrap our heads around. We kind of think we're our own. Mark.
This isn't quite on our
themselves was what? Democrat.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting when you study actual history before it's been revised to what? Yeah, revisionist history. You got to be really careful and dig deep. And but anyway, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes, and we'll close in a word of prayer. Father God, we're just thankful tonight that Don and Marge are here with us, and we just pray for Martin and June tomorrow as they're being moved to Wellbridge. Give him the strength and encourage them both as they go there so that they could have a great time of recovery and so that he could get home. We just pray for June's grandchildren that are living with her, that even one of them came to church a couple weeks ago. We just pray for them that you would work in their hearts and lives as well through this saga that Martin's been going through. Father, we think of other needs that are represented here in this church family tonight, that we would be willing and able to submit to you, Lord, and that we would be come alongside people like all these one another passages talk about, that we would love one another and care for one another. And Lord, we just pray that as a church body, as we submit ourselves to your you and your Son, that we would really even submit ourselves to each other as we help each other. And Lord, just give us wisdom as we move forward throughout our daily lives. And Father, even as Mark was talking about this political world and climate we live in now is very scary at times. So Lord, I pray that your will would be done, especially even in this November at the election. And I pray that the right person for the job would get it, and that you would just even bless our nation. Lord, it seems like so many people have been rejecting Jesus Christ, but I pray that many of the silent Christians that have been so quiet for so many years would rise up and just look to you and your Son for everything that they are and everything that they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.